three or four preachers. Thought come to my mind, he named Joe Willie, Brother Irving, Howard, what was we talking about, Brother Troy McKinn, along with a bunch of others back then that would preach. And first thing popped my mind, he said that, I would like to have a camp meeting now with every one of them back here to preach. Put these little pipsqueaks we got today on the, over in the corner out of the way and let some preachers preach. About one good service and all you'd have would just be the preachers. I tell you what, down through the time, our preachers, we still got some good preachers, don't you get me wrong. But I'm telling you, they're killing them. Billy Sunday, every one of us has heard of Billy Sunday. I've got a book at the house of several of his sermons on it. And I got a book out of my fellow out of North Carolina, he's dead now. Brother Milby got me introduced with him. And he was talking about Billy Sunday, how the people that backed him and his big meetings that he had. And in that book, it's got a picture of him in a tent or some kind of tabernacle. I bet there's 10,000 people there. But the people that was backing him and pushing him, getting him to preach that way, was also trying to put his fire out to get him to slack off and not preach as hard. But I thought of something that Gene Mathias said. He's up at camp meeting one time. He talked about people said, some people said that's too hard, or that's too straight. And he said, puke on that hard and straight. Said, it's either right or wrong. And that's kind of the way I am. When somebody talks about somebody preaching hard, forget about it. It's either right or it's wrong. It ain't no middle ground. And I got another little book. I'll be reading some in Matthew, and some in Luke, and some in John. But it was printed back in the 60s. I don't know whether you can even get one now or not. But they're teaching on the seven doctrinal points of getting saved. And I read them, and every one of them is right. And there's one of them in there that I really like. Man does not get saved unless God does.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you right now, we can say whatever we want to, but it's either a work of God or we're just not saved.
Right.
You know what's something that I've often wondered? May not read enough. You know, it just bothers me, this mess we got going on today of getting people to make perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and Book of Romans, the Bible said, how can they believe on whom they have not heard? That world out there can't believe on God with saving knowledge till they hear. How can they believe on whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? God calls them, saves them. God calls them. God anoints them. God sends them to preach. And then the sinner sits there and hears. And the Bible said faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Amen. I bless your heart. You don't go out somewhere and just rake you up a handful of faith. Amen. If God don't give it to you, you won't have it. Amen. He said by grace, through faith are you saved. And he said that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. The grace is a gift that God gives you. Ain't God in the faith? Faith is a gift that God gives you. Amen. You don't get nothing on your own. You are a natural enemy of God. You're wrong. Ain't God from you just as long as you can, just as far as you can, just as fast as you can. So put the Word of God on your feet gets in your heart and breaks your heart. That's the only way you'll ever get saved.
Amen.
I can get you to repeat every word in this book behind me and you'll still go to hell.
Yes, sir.
I want something here that I had searched out, Matthew chapter number 5. One verse about being saved, there'll be 90 that tells you how to live.
Yes, sir.
We like to warn them about how to get saved. But we don't want the 90 that tells us how to live after God saves us.
Right.
Amen. You search it out for yourself. For every one verse that it tells you about getting saved, there's 90 of them that tells you how to live. If you follow God, how can you go wrong? He said the grace of God that bring us salvation. That bring us salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Has appeared to all men. And if you ain't hard headed, ain't God here says it teaches you to deny ungodliness.
Amen.
And worldly lust. That you should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
Right. What he says.
Now that's what God does. It ain't got a thing to do, a world to do with Oscar James. It's the grace of God that teaches it. Have you ever heard a preacher preaching? Amen. And you've seen some, maybe seen something in the scripture that you just didn't understand, and somebody be preaching, and God turned the light on you and opened it to you? Now I'll tell you one. Several years ago, this Bible talks about Esau committing fornication. And I know fornication between single people. But now there was no woman involved with Esau.
Come on, Jenny.
But Terry Pace was a preacher one time down at Black Hole, and, amen, and he said something, I almost got up shouting when he said it. He said the word fornication means can't wait. In other words, Esau could not wait till he got back home to eat. He had to have it and had it right by then. So he committed spiritual fornication.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Married people don't commit fornication.
No.
It's single people.
Right.
I better get on with this. That's why I'm going to Matthew where it said there I looked at one verse, tells you how to be saved, 90 tells you how to live. Now let's go to the book of Luke chapter 16, I'm going to be reading it twice, but I want to get a point here. I have preached on this one time before, several years ago. You know, it's getting to where we need to hear some more preaching on hell.
Amen.
How long has it been since you heard somebody just back up and preach on hell? Me and my wife were talking the other day about that thought for today. It comes on WZOB. About 99.99.99.99 times I do not listen to it. I don't want to hear the garbage out of the wrong book.
Amen.
But if you do get one on there that'll preach, he will not preach on hell.
Amen.
And if a man don't ever, God don't ever open his heart and mind and let him see that he's going to hell, he'll never see God.
Amen.
I got afraid of dying and going to hell.
Yes, sir.
Let's see what the Bible says. I like what one of them children read this morning. I told my wife, I said, well, don't weigh up here. I said, I like that. We just need to take heed. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father. For many shall say in that day, have we not prophesied in thy name, cast out devils, done many wonderful works, and Christ will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Now let's see what God says about getting in. And Luke chapter number 16, and begin reading with verse 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves. Now you could stop and preach for about 2 hours right there on people justifying themselves.
Yes, sir.
You ever see anybody do that?
Amen.
Rasp the scripture to their own destruction when God said, thou shalt not. I told Oscar about it the other day, and I told Brother Joel Sims about yesterday. I just woke up, it come to my mind down there, Worldcraft, they used to have it, had a suggestion box over there. If something wasn't in there, you could write a suggestion, put in there. Amen, and about all jobs has got one of them. And I begin to look at this Bible, and at the end of the Ten Commandments, I don't find no suggestion box. I only find, Brother Jones told me this old phone, I got to preaching to him over the phone about it. He said, I'll show you one place where, amen, there was a suggestion box. Amen, that was when Korah withstood Moses. He suggested that he was just as holy as Moses was. And God showed him what he thought about his suggestion. He just opened the ground and swallowed him alive. Didn't even give him time to pack a suitcase. I bless your heart. Thank God David ever did. Give us the right to suggest anything about his book. When he said, thou shalt not, best thing you do, don't do it. And when he said, do it, best thing to do is try your best to do it. You too, James. Listen now. And he said unto him, you are they would justify yourself before men, but God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Listen now. Listen to what the Bible says. The law and the prophet were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man repeateth his way into it. Did I read that right? I don't think I did. I think I read that wrong. Let me read it again. The law and prophet were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. Now this easy believism stuff, God said you would press your way into it. At time I'd preach on things you've got to press through. One of them is this right here.
Yes, sir.
Next to the force is the forces of hell to get to here.
Yes, sir.
All right, now help us, Lord. I'll read about two more verses and we'll go, amen, over to John's writing. He said it was easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. I love that, don't you? I spoke it this morning. I believe in Psalms. The Bible said that His Word is forever settled in heaven. Oh Lord, it's settled in heaven. Ain't gonna be nobody get there and change it.
Amen.
Amen. Whosoever puts away his wife and marry none and committeth adultery, whosoever marry her and put away from her husband committeth adultery. That turned to John chapter number 5. And it'll take me probably half the night, maybe to preach longer than I thought I was going to. God bless your heart. It's time we realize. God bless your heart. How there's a heaven to gain, and there's a hell to shun. Ain't but one road map between here and heaven, and I have it laid right here. Before me. God bless your heart. You can take anything you want and try to work your way into heaven, but you'll come through the roadmap of God. And when you do, you just as well to get ready to press your way through all the forces of hell. And I've got news for you. I've been saved for 42 years and I'm still pressing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I have put up 1 week this past week, every day, trying to figure out a way to quit preaching. Just throw it down and quit. Put up a whole week of it. Ain't found it yet. Why? Because we're living in a generation that just don't want it.
Amen.
They just don't want it. Amen. John chapter 4. Let me see where to start reading that. I'll start probably with verse number 7. We all know this is the woman that come to the well. There cometh a woman, verse 7, cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples was gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it? You being a Jew, ask a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria. For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, and thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee given thee living water. Amen. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. A good place to stop right there and preach. Amen. Where people are starving to death for water, but it's the water of this world. It's not the water of God. Amen. And bless your heart. But whosoever drink of this water that I shall give him shall he shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well, a water springing up unto everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, sir, Give me this water,
that
I thirst not, neither come hither, I too draw. Amen. I'd like to preach. I told Oscar this morning that we wanted to preach on it. Amen. A drop of water. Hallelujah. I bless your heart. I will go back now to Luke chapter 16. We find the rich man. Ain't God the Bible said he fared sumptuously every day. Amen. Had no need of anything. And I've got news for you. If you'll study after him, he was a religious man. I bless your heart. If I was going to preach, I may be titled this tonight. I'd title it on when he could, he wouldn't. When he would, he couldn't. I bless your heart. He had plenty of opportunity. Thank God to drink down through time. No doubt. He had heard how that living water he had been somewhere where they'd read the law out of the temple and they'd teach him about the coming Messiah. But God bless your heart. He was too busy drinking out of the fountains out of this ungodly world. How to study about the living water.
Amen.
You look at this church tonight, and you look at the community around us, it automatically tells you what they're thirsting after.
Sure.
You don't have to judge. I got sense enough, I can tell a peach from a pear. I'm dumb, but I can tell a peach from a pear. God said, by their fruit, ye shall know them.
Yes, sir.
But here he was. The Bible said that a certain rich man with clothed purple fine linen had fared sumptuously every day, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dog came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried, and God to Abraham by angel Abraham bosom. A rich man also died and was buried. I bless your heart. You know what the difference was? The water there's a drink. Amen. That Bible don't give us no history about Lazarus, where he was at, where he went to temple, what he done. Don't give us none. But it tells me well enough to know that he had been drinking of the living water because he made it out of Father Abraham's bosom. Amen. And the rich man also died and was buried and in hell. He opened his eyes. He said, Lazarus, far off in Abraham's bosom.
Amen.
Now that tells me that he was a religious man, because he knew Abraham.
Sure.
He wasn't ignorant, but he was ignorant.
Mm-hmm.
You can walk down the street I hear old Rush Limbaugh Friday say something. I won't say what he said. I told my wife, I said, you know, I know Rush Limbaugh. But these people that we've got today on these so-called talk shows, they make me so mad that I can't hardly have it. They'll talk about if so-and-so would do this or so-and-so would do that. I don't want to tell them what so-and-so needs to do. Hey, man, it gets somewhere where somebody's preaching the Word of God. Hey, man, and sharing it. Let the Holy Ghost deal with them.
Yeah.
Let them repent. Get right with God. Our nation will turn.
Yes, sir.
I believe I've told you here before. A few months back, one Saturday night, we're sitting there at the house. There was the phone rung. And I picked it up. And it was a woman. Lived down through there in front of the courthouse and center somewhere. I looked it up in the phone book and I said, go talk to Jeff Shaver, sheriff, about it. Me and him go see her, but I messed around and lost her number and her name. But she was telling me about some people under her house, and I just sat and listened. Under her house were making dope, and said, I've called a narcotics agent, and I called the sheriff, and said, won't none of them come down here, amen, and get them out from under the house. Amen. I just let her talk on. I said, she got through talking. I said, it's on Saturday night. I said, ma'am, I can give you the answer to your problem if you want. And she said, what is it? I said, in the morning, being Sunday morning, I get up and go to the house of God where somebody has a preaching the word of God. I said, get out, pray, get right with God. I said, come back and get in the middle of your living room floor. I begin to beat it with your fist and call on God. I said, I'll guarantee you they'll go. What was wrong with the preacher? She was demon possessed. Ain't nobody got the sense enough to tell me that the sheriff wouldn't drove across the road if they'd have called him and said there's somebody here making dope. She's demon possessed. Amen. When I knowed it, so I told her. I said, you get somewhere where some man will roll up his shirt sleeves and preach hell hot and heaven sweet and penance of mud. I mean, I just give her the whole nine yards right there over the phone. I said, if you'll do that, then come back and pray there in that living room floor and beat it with your fist. I said, I'll guarantee you they'll get out of there. Amen, Drucker. She said, well, I thank you for the advice. You hung up. That's the last I've heard of it. I bless your heart. That's what the problem is today. It's not so much a dope. I hear them say a while ago on the news where they had so many dope heads they didn't know what to do with them. Thank God if they'd get them, let men go in and preach to them, thank God get them burned again, it would stop all that mess.
Amen.
But you know, most of our prisons today, I've had some to try to get me in on that prison ministry, and I would if it leaves me alone.
Yeah.
But they got a chaplain, most of them have, and he tells you what you can and what you can't.
Yes, sir. Yes, he does.
And I wouldn't go into a place like that. I know two fellas that preachers in prisons, Holy Powers, one of them, preach in prison, and they ain't got nobody over them. Dennis Morgan over here, Dublin, Georgia. They got a chaplain in there, but he goes in preaching. He said, come out, Dennis Morgan said, I'll come out one day. Chaplain said, how many did you have to make them forget? He said, I don't know. I didn't ask them. He said, I just preached to them, opened the altar, said they started praying. I just walked around, I packed them on the back, tell them to pray. Yeah. When they got through, let them work it out between them and God. Right. Ain't none of my business, no how. Amen. I bless your heart. That's what the people need. If the young folks were taught that at home, they wouldn't be as much of it. I'm going on. Ain't God in jail, houses. Now, I might as well just drive this nail while I'm here. A few months back, carried my wife to Gadsden, the doctor. We was up on the second floor, and I was looking out the window, seeing my truck sitting out there.
and a television about the size of that section of that window on. Everybody in there had their head glued up in that thing. Directly here come two colored fellas out, and they just hugged each other, either up, and kissed, locked up, locked up. About the time they got through kissing, here come a colored boy and a white woman. And they locked lips. Now, I thought a lot of time off the street about the home was more. How many of us go home? Get down that thing, sit right there and in the middle of something like that, bow down and get on your all fours like you talking about, and say, God, I thank you mightily. I for setting this mess in front of me. I bet I can watch it and feed it to my kids. I bless so hard. That's the reason why. That's for many of our young folks. That's his own goal. That's marriages. That's everything else. And they're going to wind up. I just like the rich man. In hell!
Yes, sir. Amen.
Come on. My Lord, left me alone.
Come on.
He's got something around it. I thank you mightily, God, for this, making it possible for me to teach this to my kids.
Come on.
Here was a man. After he got in hell, he's going to be just like a bunch of folks today. He's going to want a drink of that water that God gave that woman.
Amen.
That God gave that woman a drink of water that she would never thirst again. And when he could, while he was alive, when he could, done, he would not do it.
Right.
Then when he got in hell, when he got to where he couldn't, then he would.
Amen.
Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. I don't know about y'all, but I think that he was talking about that living. Let me use your imagination just a minute here. If that was that living water he is talking about, if he could have got one drop of that on his tongue, he would have come out of hell.
Amen.
And God knows what God had fixed to where, hey man, there's a gulf between us to where you can't go down there and you can't come out. Hey man, he done seen, he done. Hey, God didn't drink when he should have. I bless your heart, I wonder. Hey man, day after day, people ride up down this road. How we talk to them day after day. Hey man. And we never mention Jesus to them. I wonder what God's going to do to us. Amen. He said after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. I think we ought to. Every time the doors open, and God testify of the Lord Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
I've said it a many times. Say it again tonight. That woman right there going to quit going me some of these days. I don't care where I'm at. If a door gets open, my foot goes in. Amen. Tell them about it. He was wanting a drink of that water. Amen. I've got a CD at the house. I don't remember where it is. Who it was preaching. But he was talking about a man. Thank God that was an atheist. Didn't believe in God. Taught his kids that there wasn't no such thing as God or heaven or hell. Had about a 13-year-old daughter. Thank God, she got sick and was in the hospital just before she died.
Thank God they said she raised up on the bed. I looked over her daddy. I said, Daddy, why didn't you tell me? Thank God that they was a God. And they was a hell. And they said, a girl daddy said, there ain't no God. And there ain't no hell. She said, don't tell me. I said, there they come right now. I'll take me to hell.
Yeah.
And then she laid down and died. And she woke up in hell. Amen. Thank God we better be telling. Romans. Thank God God's real. Hell's real.
Yeah.
Outside of the new birth. And living for Christ. Somebody's going to hell.
Amen. Yes, they are.
I wish we'd go back to preaching hell like they used to. I've got one of a CD down the house. I don't know whether I'd give anybody one or not. I really don't know how old it is. It's an old one. Man preaching on hell. And buddy, he preaches on hell. It's real.
Sure it is.
Amen.
People think because they done come down here and shed a tear or two, and somebody pat them on the back, tell them they're all right, they're going to heaven. You must be born again.
Amen.
Had time to preach on that. There's more to being born again than just making a decision.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You can make all the decisions you want to make. God makes the first decision.
Yep.
No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Ain't there one of us, before we got saved, cared one thing in the world about God.
Amen.
Don't tell me you did.
No, sir.
You didn't care. But when that Holy Ghost begin to prick at your heart, then you begin to study about it.
Amen.
You didn't lose no sleep over when you were lost. If you lost any sleep, if that of God started dealing with you. I didn't care. Roamed around for 32 years, didn't care which way the wind blew, as long as it wasn't blowing in my face. But one day God come by. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me. One day the Holy Ghost come by. One night while I was laying in bed asleep, the Holy Ghost come by. When I woke up, I was talking about like what it's all on. Well, I didn't have to ask nobody what it was. Like I heard an old preacher say one time, amen, said when that old king looked down in the, amen, down in that fiery furnace and said, didn't you not cast three men in there? Said, I see four walk around loose and unharmed. And said, the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Somebody asked him, said, how did he know what the Son of God looked like? I'm going to tell you something. If you ever see him, you'll know him.
Amen.
You don't have to have nobody to explain to you. You'll know. Amen. You don't have to write off. Thank God. Hallelujah. That's Roy Moore, who it is. Amen. Might have him good to find out. I don't know. I bless your heart. But I'm telling you right now, if we don't get sin out of our life and get out of sin and get born again, we're going to wind up in hell. Oh, we're going to drink the water.
Amen.
Amen.
When he could, he wouldn't. Have we not got a community here full of them that can?
Yes, sir.
And won't? But like that little girl, why didn't you tell me that there was a God and they were the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Right there then, if it had been possible, I'd said she would have took a drink of water. I mean, I listened to that and I made my skin crawl. Just think about somebody telling your kids, that and telling them that they can sin and get by with it. It's different than sinning and sinning.
Amen.
What I'm talking about, doing something through fleshly error and willingly doing something. Ain't no man in here, woman, either one. I'd say there ain't a day go by to what you don't say, God, I wished I hadn't done that. God, forgive me of that. God, I mean, there ain't a day goes by.
Amen.
You made out of the same stuff I am. But I don't get out, Jason, and willfully do it. I tell you what I want. Hey, man, I'd like to see it every time I come through that door. I'd like to see a bucket of water of where I could drink. Hallelujah! Drink the water. That'll give you life and make you shout. And God and have a running bed.
Amen.
I even like it pretty good when you get out of here and get a drink of it. I have been known a few times to be on the outside. I guess you have too, probably been on that lawnmower sometime, be studying about God, more about a half acre, about three times before you think about what you're doing. Amen. God will visit you. Amen. But here was a man that while he is here on earth, he would not drink of that water. He just would not drink of it. But when he got in hell, he wanted some on his tongue. Amen. If he'd have got it, I believe he'd have come out. He seen he wasn't going to get it. He said, you, hey, God, send Lazarus back and tell my five brothers, lest they also come to this awful place. Amen. I've got ten folk living in this community and other communities. Every time you get around them, tell them about it. Amen. I will yours.
Amen.
One of my nephews said I was just too overbearing. He lives right over behind me. He said, I'm just too overbearing. And then he's going to explain to me how he was with God. I was sitting on the doorstep and he was sitting in a chair. I let him explain. He said, I treat my neighbors right. Sitting there with a can of beer in his hand. I treat my neighbors right. If I see anybody in need, I try to help them. He said, every time I do all good deeds, I do all what he would say every time I see to help somebody, I do. I turned around and looked him eyeball to eyeball, pointed my finger at him, and told him, I said, son, you're sitting right now with your feet hanging over the rims of hell, just fixing the drop off. Boy, that stopped his bragging. Amen. He never has mentioned it since. Amen. About how good he was, how he helped his neighbor. Ain't God doing good is good. But that will not get you forgiveness. I'll see it.
Sir,
when he would have, could have drank, he would not. I don't know. Maybe y'all, some of y'all waited later in life. But I have a lot of times sat at the house and sat there and cried, Jason, and thought if I'd have started out when I was a young man, I might have been some help. Then I said, yeah, right. God, by the way, you let me get that long and go that deep so when I come out, I can tell the other fellow how to get out of it.
Amen.
They worry about getting these people off of dope. I know exactly how to get them off. Get them out at the foot of Calvary. Amen. Right down at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, if thou will, thou can make me whole. And if they mean it from the heart, how God will deliver them.
Will.
I'm glad, thank God, people have got what they call these dry out center. I'll tell you the best dry out center that is in the world. It's right here for all the old mourner's bank. Thank God you won't have to go back every week to one of them meetings. Amen. To tell you how the quick drinking God dry you out. God will take you off a dope. Amen. There's a lot of things God will do if we just come to Him.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Griping right now because our prisons ain't big enough to hold all of the wicked people. If these old men of God and get rid of these funny books and go back to preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified, repent or perish, go to hell, turn or burn. I mean, go back to preaching like Joe Willie Fugit, Irving Green, Howard, ain't God Troy McKinn. I told Oscar this morning, I remember Troy McKinn more times than I've got fingers and toes. He'd get up, ain't God never opened His Bible, preach. Amen, He could preach or quote the Bible better than I can read it. Amen, He'd get up. He said, I'm going to preach this old book if it kills me and you both. Amen. We need some more preachers like that. Today's going to preach the book of God if it kills every one of us.
Amen.
When He could have, He would. We have them come in here every Sunday morning, sit on the bench that could, but won't do it. But one of these days, when they get down there where that rich man is, they would, seeing they had taken a drink, they'll be wanting a drink, but can't get it.
Amen.
Get it now. While it's free to you.
Yes. Yes.
All it costs you is just giving up your life for His. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, boy, but God still saved.
Yes, sir.
That book, they got 7 points in it. Joel Hyatt sent it to me. I thought, well, I'll go start breaking, preaching on them 7 points, but I thought, I'll get it some other time. But one of the points was if God don't save you, you are not going to be saved.
Amen.
Now, do you mind if I say this? And I'd like it to get all over the whole world. I hate denomination.
Yes, sir.
This, but I preached in, you name it, Church of Christ. I've been preaching Church of Christ. Over in Red Bay, Alabama, I preached in Church of Christ one time. I preached on Ichabod. And that didn't cure my problem. But I preached in just about every brand that they is. And that Bible reads the same in every one of them.
Amen.
I guess really, I have probably preached more in Holiness Church and in Churches of God a few years back than I did Baptist. Mm-hmm. But I got too strong for them. Just a few months back, I'll say this and shut down. Just a few months back, I got turned off, turned out, turned over, turned everything else because of preaching and saying something about a dumb cell phone. Feller was dancing around, boy, I mean, he was having himself a, what they thought was a Holy Ghost fit. He had his coat on and his phone was in his pocket and it went off and he stopped, took it out, answered it. I was watching. Put it back in his pocket and went back to dancing. About 3 weeks later they asked me to preach. You can just imagine where I wound up at.
I wound up on that dumb cell. I wasn't saying nothing against the cell phone. I think them things is nice. Shape we in now. I want my wife on the road without one.
No, sir.
But I said them getting up here dancing and stopping and answering the phone, then go back to dancing. They wasn't no Holy Ghost within a half a mile of that.
Amen.
I ain't been asked to preach there no more since. We just well to be honest.
Yes, sir.
God is God. And I want to be found drinking water.